It's Leashstock, baby. It's Ailish Forfar, Justin Cuthbert, and Sammy McKee. Sammy there? You awake?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You hey.
Can you hear me okay? How
what
are
a
you?
Pleasure to be hosting your show. How are you?
Good. I loved that little transition we did there. That was fantastic.
That was the power of radio right there.
That was hot
power
radio.
Power of radio and podcasting just like
we merged at its peak. Two things into one.
Yeah.
All right.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. It's late, close to 1 o'clock. Let's get this party started.
We're one of three people who watched that game in its entirety. I feel like my take on that game is that it's the lowest watched or viewed game of the entire Leaf season. No?
I think you could, the collective sound you heard around midnight or maybe around 11:55 was the clicks of millions of television sets around the country going off, going into that third period where the Leafs are up 3-0. They're cruising along. The goalie looks good. And they just
night.
Obviously going to win that game. That is one where all three of us, if we didn't have this job, would not have watched the third period. I can promise you that. But, you know, it got a little bit hairier than I thought it had to there for a moment. They score. They had a couple chances. But, yeah, ultimately, the Leafs beat a really crappy Squids team.
Yeah.
They suck.
They're brutal.
They're really
How are they this bad?
It's too bad because I think
they went out spending in the summer.
The expectations were kind of like tainted a bit by Vegas coming in and being such a great expansion team, and then Seattle had a hot moment, and then they have had no hot moments ever since.
Well, they just have no like real fun players. Like it's just, you know, there's just like it's like all third liners. It just feels like their whole team is. It's just a bunch of third liners, and then Brandon Montour, who I actually really like, and I thought was somewhat noticeable tonight.
Did you notice his fake penalty?
Yeah, I did notice that.
This is greasy,
I actually thought, I don't want to start off on ref talk, but I guess I will. I thought they were awful.
We never talk about the refs on Leafs Talk.
I thought they were awful the whole way through the game, like
it
on both
pretty,
sides.
It was pretty bad.
Like for, you know, there's a, towards the end of the third period there, Mitch Marner on a shorthanded break where
that was
the guy literally holds onto his stick and then 2 minutes later, like, anyways, the high stick that we'll get into, there were so many calls back and forth. I thought they did an awful job tonight, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think I would agree. It was a low effort officiating match tonight. I mean, the high stick goal, do you want to start with that?
I think I actually
want to start. On Montour, which high stick you talking about?
I would love to start with the return of Anthony Stewart.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
We'll go most important thing to least important thing.
Yeah, Anthony Stolarz hadn't played since December 12th, had the loose body removed from his knee. Those pebbles were in there. Definitely taking his time, and I think he targeted a great game. Obviously, we just talked about how boring the Seattle Kraken are, and if you're sandwiching that between a Hockey Night in Canada game against the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday, and then, of course, the big one that they just played against the Flames, I think they picked a perfect time for him to come and to play, and I think that's the most promising thing from this entire night is how great he looked. He made some huge saves, especially early in the first when they kind of, like, gave it to him the most, and in the third period, so I think you should feel really comforted that he came out red hot after a long time on the bench.
Yeah, I'm really surprised at how good he looked, I have to be honest. You know, you would expect some sort of rust. I mean, it's 2 months here now that he's been out, and I just, there was no, it just looked like it was the same guy that we had seen. It was at the New Jersey game, the one where he stood on his head, the one before he got hurt, right? That's the one where made all
Keith
those unbelievable
all like,
saves. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his best game. Like 39 saves, I think he made.
Yeah. And Holmberg scored that weird shorthanded goal in that game, and then Matthews scored in overtime, and they won that game. And there was a lot of talk that them going right back to him the next game may have been the issue with him getting hurt. But I was so impressed with him tonight. And, you know, I've been talking a lot about reasons for hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and God, is that a dangerous conversation. But the way that Anthony Stolarz comes back from injury tonight and looks, and granted, you know, I think there was probably three or four flurries throughout this game where he actually had to be really good and the rest of it was pretty pedestrian. You know, like you said, the start of the game, I thought he was really good. Maybe towards the end of the game where the Leafs weren't trying quite as hard at the start of that third period, he had to be really, really good. But yeah, if you look at their goaltending situation now, if Anthony Stolarz is just going to be one of the best goalies in the league and you pair him with Joseph Woll, who has been excellent since he got hurt, I actually do think that this is a reason to have a little bit of hope about a potential run for the Leafs. No, am I getting too late night positive here, though? But I just
lack of sleep getting to us.
I don't know. They've just always had the second best goalie in every one of these playoff series that they've lost, except the 1 year where Vasilevskiy couldn't stop a beach ball and Samsonov was better than him. I just, you know, looking at these two guys, it actually makes me feel excited about a potential playoff run here. Like, these two guys have been excellent.
Stolarz was so good tonight. Yeah, he was. And he looked exactly as he did previously.
That's the best part of it.
Like, there was no ramp-up process. There was no discomfort or discomfort-looking motion. Like, it was just Anthony Stolarz that we remembered from 2 months ago. But I guess the problem with the excitement is it's kind of like the Team USA thing. Like, you got three great goaltenders, but you're only going to use one when it matters the most. And maybe they go with some sort of rotation. I mean, every playoff we've seen two goaltenders for the Maple Leafs out of necessity, and sometimes when things are just so bleak that it doesn't even matter anymore. But I just, it can be to their benefit. But can you go into a playoff series and expect to use both when the times are rolling, right?
Yeah.
Like, every single time we've seen more than one, it's because it's been out of desperation.
And you think about last year, even against the Leafs in the first round with the Bruins, where, you know, they've been alternating Allmark and Swayman all year. And then
Swayman stands
on his absolute head in the first game, and then they go to the second game, and Allmark immediately loses, and then Swayman starts the rest of the games, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they'd handle it. You know, you look at all these teams that have had runs throughout the playoffs. Outside of the Panthers, who won last year, I think Bobrovsky, did he start all the games in the playoffs? I don't think Stolarz got in for a start in any of those. But
no, I don't think so.
Even you know, you look at what Edmonton did last year. They had to reset and go to Pickard. You think of what Holtby, when he kind of struggled, they went to Grubauer in that run. Like, you know, Scott Darling and Corey Crawford. Like, the list goes on of this stuff. But I guess the difference is, in those situations, that's one is more of a defined starter as opposed to like 1A and 1B. So it will be really interesting to see how they handle this. But I just, you know, it doesn't feel like it really matters. Like, I guess you worry about their feelings and their teammates and all that stuff. But like, it just feels like whoever's going to be in the net, if they're both healthy, which, you know, is also a question mark that we could get into, but it just feels like you're going to get a really good goaltending effort, and you saw it tonight. So just a really positive development, especially before the Four Nations. He can go into this two-week break feeling good about himself. We'll get the net on Saturday night. You come back for a stretch run after the break here, and away you go. So awesome stuff from Stolarz.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the goalies and move on. Yeah. But the one thing I want to say is I'm encouraged by it, because I think it'll be a friendly competition between these two down the stretch, and we might be waiting to kind of see who takes the step forward. And I'm not too worried about their feelings, because they're both not
demeanors.
But they're also not starters. Like, they're both backups. And, like, they're kind of just, this is newfound territory for both of them to be the guy, right? Like, Stolarz was never the guy, and Wall has never been the guy. So it's not like you're saying, hey, Bobrovsky.
Yeah, no one's making 10 sheets.
Yeah, you're on the back burner. It's kind of like, hey, we work in tandem, and this stretch of hockey moving forward will be who's going to be better. So I think it could be a healthy competition. This is my glamorized perspective of it.
I like it. I like it. You know, I really do. I think that's a great perspective. And listen, I think Wall has shown that he has the ability to play like you mentioned, him being a backup, and he was a backup to Samsonov. He was a backup to whoever else they had in there. But him, since Stolarz got hurt, he did like the starter's workload, right? Mm-hmm. I think since Stolarz got hurt, he had the second most starts in the league next to Connor Hellebuck. Like, he did the thing. So he kind of proved himself a little bit there with his ability to stay healthy and whatnot. I think he nudged himself ahead. But then you see Stolarz go back in there tonight, and you're like, God, you forget he was the best goalie in the league.
You know,
he was the best goalie in the league before he got hurt. And like, him and Hellebuck were 1-2, and it's just, it's crazy. Yeah. Anyways, it's rare for the Leafs to have that.
I agree. Good problem to have. Agree talk tonight.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. What else? I want to talk about Bobby McMahon, because I just think, you know, he's like a legit scoring threat for the Leafs. As of late, we know that. But that's his third straight goal in a game. He's got 17 this season. And Justin and I were talking about it on the intermissions here. Just like $1.35 million for that is just, it's pretty awesome. He's really become a guy that, I know it's not really secondary scoring in a sense, but that's the problem with the Leafs in the playoffs, right? It's going to be the guys, the top core four, whatever, yeah, scoring. So if Bobby McMahon can be a guy you can count on in the playoffs, it'd be great to see him in it. I just really love the value they found on him. He impresses me every game, and it's been a great stretch for him.
I totally agree. Like, I've been so blown away by how good he's been, and, you know, just feels like the confidence that he's playing with now. And I think, I don't know if it was who we talked to in the intermission in the Calgary game, maybe it was Mark Masters, but he was just like, for a whole part of my career here, I've just been like trying to prove that I like belong. And now, like, he's, you know, he's compensated, maybe not well enough, and he maybe have some conversations with his agents, with his buddies over some beers, they'd be like, well, why did my agent tell me to take that contract? Anyways, I just, you know, he's got some confidence, he's got some belief that all the guys, like, it's just, it's amazing what that can do for you. And the guy rips it. Like, it just, any time that he has a chance, and tonight he gets to the middle of the ice and he gets a good tip on it right between the hash marks. And I really like him as an sort of, you know, the quote-unquote X factor in a playoff series. And I've talked about it before, but last year in the playoffs, he wasn't there. He disappeared. And that was part of it, that, like, they really did miss his sort of sneaky little bit of production that he gives them. But I will say about tonight, I don't think I love that hockey line a whole lot of him, Nick Robertson, and Pontus Holmberg. And for me, Bobby McMahon has proven enough where I know they're trying to go, and maybe we can get into this a little bit after here, they're trying to go nuclear with the Marner, Tavares, Nylander line, and they're trying to keep Matthews and Knies and Domi together or whatever. But I think Bobby McMahon has shown me enough where until you improve your bottom six and get another center or get another winger in there, I want Bobby McMahon in the top six. Like, he's been good enough. I want him up there. And even for me, you could even try him, you know, on his offside, play him with Knies and Matthews. Just see what he can do up there. Like, he's proven to me that he isn't secondary scoring anymore. He is a crucial part of this team's production. And I think he gets lost a little bit when you're playing him with Holmberg and Nick Robertson. I think he's more valuable than that at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's painfully obvious what the team needs. I mean, everyone knows.
Painfully.
It's that center who can connect Nylander and McMahon, giving you three full lines. It just feels like that's exactly what they need, and it just may not be out there, may not be available. Maybe the price is exorbitant, and you can't get to the point where you want to meet it. But it would be really nice just to see everything come together, even for just a moment. Like, can you get a trial run on a center and see if you want to pay the Easton Cowan price? I guess you can't, but I would love to see it because McMahon is proving that he can be, you know, a building block, something to build around, to pair with a William Nylander, to pair with another really important player. And then all of a sudden you go from a two-line team to the three-line team because you found a guy in Bobby McMahon. Let's touch on that nuclear line. We're calling it nuclear B because it can't be A without Austin Matthews.
We're kind of losing our minds.
It's Leaf Talk Blue here. We're going after dark.
We may not see it again, the plan B, because not a shot through 40 minutes combined between Marner, Nylander, and Tavares at even strength. It was a pretty rough night, frankly, for the top six. Like, they didn't get much going at 5-on-5. The best stuff came on the power play. The power play continues to roll, which is a great thing. But it didn't work for the top line. Didn't notice Domi. Second line was brutal. Like, they just didn't. All that money out on the ice, and you got very little impact against a bunch of third liners, as you mentioned. Did you see anything in nuclear B that got you excited?
Well, I heard Berube talking before the game, and he was like, you know, I'm a little concerned about them getting to the middle of the ice. And it's like, yeah, guess what happened? He's like, we can't have them be on the perimeter. We can't. It's like he was pre-pissed off about it. Like, he knew what was about to happen. And it did. Like, they just, what was very perimeter oriented. It looked like three guys that never play together, right? Like, it just, there was no chemistry. It felt like they were kind of tripping over each other at times out there, like Willie picking up the puck off where Matt or Marner would usually be, or vice versa. I didn't find it to be a good chemistry. And when you have those three guys on a line and you look at the bottom half of your lineup, you're like, why are you doing this? Like, you can do it where these other guys, like, you have enough good players to spread it out over three lines and just try it. Just try it for a little bit. And they're so hesitant. I guess maybe they're worried about the ice times and spreading it out enough. And if you're hating it and it's in a close game, you can change it up at the end of the game. Like, you're allowed to switch up lines throughout the game. It just seems like having those three guys to me is such a waste of resources when you look at the rest of the bottom six. No, like, it's just, you can mix, I don't know, like, I guess they're hesitant to put a Willie on a quote-unquote third line or Marner on a quote-unquote third line.
Willie
or
was basically playing
line.
On a third line for the last, like, yeah, 2 months. He's playing with Holmberg and, you know, whoever was available. So for me, looking at this, like, before the game, we were doing our pregame show, and I'm starting to think, well, it's good to try new things, like, because in the playoffs, if there's something stagnant, you can go back to a line that you know had some pump, like it had a jump. And tonight, yeah, I would not be going back to this. But we used to criticize Sheldon Keefe so much for the blender. And I'm like, get a little magic bullet in there, like just a baby bullet. Like, you know, you can do a little blending. But I think the problem for me when I look at why tonight didn't like click for me is I think it can work. Is they're really trying to give Domi an opportunity to, like, get going, right, on that top line. That really, like, come on, Domi, you got to get going.
It can't come, though, at the expense of others.
That's it. So it came,
like,
at the expense
tonight.
It's
just a general rule. Like, they cannot put Domi in that position.
Well, that's where the issue is for
and
me.
And make an example of anyone else in order to do that. At least it seems.
So you're putting him up on the elephant in the room. We're trying to fit Domi something where it doesn't belong right now. And I don't know how you do it, but
if you don't do that, he's playing on a third line that doesn't work
and making a lot of money. That's
the Domi contract is definitely like an elephant in the room that I think everybody was pretty excited about it. I don't know. I won't speak for you guys, but I was excited about it when they signed him. I thought he was really good towards the end of the year, playing with Matthews and Bertuzzi, correct? Those are the three guys they went into the playoffs with on the line. And I thought he looked excellent. I liked the passion factor, the last name, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's pretty clear to me here that I don't know if the head coach loves his contributions. Mm-hmm. Like, what did he end up playing tonight? Like, starting, quote-unquote, on the top line. I'm just looking at his ice time here. What did he end up with? He ended up with 13:28 tonight, playing on the quote-unquote first line. So it's just, I don't know what the fit is. And you've tried it here and that. Like, this better work here in a hurry. Because if this doesn't work, then what?
It's giving RJ Barrett.
It's kind of starting to feel like we're RJ Barrett. I don't watch enough Raptors too.
Oh,
I don't watch enough Raptors to understand
that reference.
Well, RJ,
it might be
a little flimsy, the ground with which he walks all of a sudden with Brendan Ingram.
But he also came home. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And we romanticize it. That's why it's giving RJ Barrett. We romanticize Domi.
Sorry to get NBA trade deadline in here.
We want desperately for it to work, but it feels like we're wishing it rather than, like, you know, being rational about it, right? Like, ultimately, they do need the additions. They need the guys who knock the guys down rungs on the ladder. And if Bobby McMahon is playing with a good center and William Nylander and Max Domi's on a fourth line doing fourth line things, you're making too much money. But that's the optimized version of this roster until he proves he can do something else. And maybe he can find some chemistry with Austin Matthews. But if it begins, even for a second in big moments, to take from Austin Matthews, then it's not worth it. Because you need 34 to actually score goals when it matters this time around, or everything else is worthless.
Yeah, I just, it just sucks what it's gotten to here. And he did end up with an assist tonight on the McMahon goal on the power play. But it just, I actually do think that there's a world where, you know, maybe not game one, maybe not game two of the playoffs, maybe not game three, but however far they get, that there's a chance that Domi sits in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I really, if he's not going to be playing in the top six, and you know what Craig Berube wants in the bottom half of the lineup, and then what he kind of expects from his, he's too perimeter, words are hard at 1:10 a.m.
Yo, seriously.
Like, it's just
good for you for trying it.
I feel awful crapping on the guy, but it's just been an awful year. It just has been. And it's just, it feels weird, the fit. I don't know really where it goes. So we'll see. He better get hot playing with Matthews, because it feels like that experiment isn't going to last that long, especially with him playing 13:28 tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Let's 110 rapid fire. What are some things that you want to get off on your show, Leafs Talk?
I'm looking on my show. Yeah, my show here. Philip Myers, Philip Myers Island. I don't know if you're
I saw your tweet. Yeah, we listen all the time, man.
I made a stupid joke, or not even a stupid joke, that I was buying a little bit of Philip Myers
how's
stock because he had a couple games. Yeah, it's been in a bad spot for a little while here.
He scored a goal, though.
It had a momentary uptick. I got really excited, and then he immediately took an awful penalty. Yeah. I was like, crap. Stock down again.
Hop to a coin.
Philippe Myers led the Maple
Leafs. He's a meme coin, sure.
Myers led the Leafs in 5-on-5 shots tonight. So maybe it's a good time to sell it.
Yeah.
Sell high.
I got to tell you, that's what I was going to say. Like, I would kill for the confidence of Phil Myers.
Yeah.
This guy just hammers it. Anytime it comes near him, all he wants to do is hit the puck as hard as he can. Mm-hmm. And he just shoots it. Finally, I think they said that he had, 26 shots in 21 games this year? Or maybe the opposite way, maybe 21 shots in 26 games? Like, he hammers the puck all the time. And he almost had another one tonight where he, walked down the slot and had a good shot. I was like, oh, my God, Phil Myers. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to my my stock that I don't think is looking too hot.
Bring
at
on the investors.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Matthew Nye's the high stick. What did you guys think?
Well, we're watching the broadcast feed here at the studio, and we only saw the broadcast feed from above, bird's eye view. We made a joke
great angle.
Honestly, we're like, what's going on here? Climate Pledge Arena, Justin's joke was like, oh, they care about the climate so much, there's only one camera. And so we only ever saw.
That wasn't quite the joke, but that's pretty good one, too.
You know what? It's almost 2 a.m. I can't make jokes properly anymore. So long story short, we only saw the above angle. And so the only thing I had to go off was that Matthew Nye's didn't sell it very well. Like, you know, Sammy, you something goes off and you think you just got to sell it. Like, you give a good fist bump. I scored that. I'm going through the line. But he looked like he was sheepish. So that's the only thing we had to go off of.
Telling the guys to go in front of him in the line was crazy.
You go crazy.
I've never seen a more guilty.
He looks so guilty, but they got the goal.
Did they think they don't have cameras? I don't understand what they were. But so I watched it 100 times, and the behind the net angle was seemingly the only one.
I would love that angle.
But even that one, it's not online with the post.
No, it's impossible.
Above, right?
We saw that.
Nobody has any idea.
You can't tell on that.
But it just all came down to the call on the ice, obviously, and didn't see enough. But the visual of it, it's just really looks because he starts so, and I'm doing the motion in my office, anyone can see what the hell I'm doing.
But he's just pitch black,
no tarp, and he's just he slashes down on it, and the visual of it looks like such a high stick.
No, it looked like he hit the roof.
But I can't really, the where he makes contact, no one seemed to be able to decipher it. And the two bozos get over there and have a 6-minute meeting about the three blind mice? Can we make a decision here? These reviews, man, they kill me.
Especially at this hour.
No, not even that. I was watching the Flames game the other night with the Leafs. It's why does this have to take 7 minutes? I've always longed for, if you're going to have review, you get, 2 full-speed looks at it? Mm-hmm. And you can, if you can differentiate from that, then you can have you can do it. It just feels so crazy in a league that's starved for goals and starved for, offense, that you're going to let these two guys sit there on a little iPad and talk about it for 6 minutes and try to convince himself it's not a goal. It's a goal or it's not a goal. It drives me crazy. Oh, my God. Anyways, it ends up being a goal, and it's an important one for them because it would have been a much hairier third period if that one doesn't count. But, God, I hate to be, Kipper here, but that Nye's contract, it just keeps going up and up. He's been unbelievable. He's been hurt a little bit here and there, banged up. But, God, he is so crucially important to this team, and his agent just has to see dollar signs in his eyes every time this guy plays. He's, driving that line at times. He's been excellent.
You go, are you confident enough in 8 years? Just get it done and...
Yeah, I think you have to.
If you play the bridge game and all of a sudden you're coming up again at the exact worst time, and the Maple Leafs have made a habit of signing contracts at the very worst time. This isn't a great time either, but... I think
you got to plug your nose. I think
I feel pretty confident.
The top dollar going up, it's going to be a dicey one.
I think you should feel confident that this guy, he's going to be a sizable part of this team for the next 5 to 10 years. I think that's going to be pretty well. I think it's firmed up now. I hope they get something done that's at least you could go pretty long and try to keep it manageable, because it could go completely out of whack in 2 or 3 years. I didn't think he was very good tonight, though. I think you got to help Domi out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that line had anything. Like, Domi didn't
have
anything.
Nobody really had much.
But, like,
I just, you know, he's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. He played 18-40 tonight. I think he played 22 or 23 against the Flames. Mm-hmm. A lot more penalty kill in that game. I love the kid, and he's like a true power forward, you know, a beefcake, real thick neck on him, just goes to the front of the net, tips pucks, just looking like Kipper's son out there. He's just a mutant. I'm really impressed with him. So I hope they can figure out a way to sign him. And, you know, I hope that not every Toronto reporter is like, you know, the offer sheet.
No, don't
the
even
offer
say
sheet,
that.
You know,
don't
like,
even say
it's,
that.
If you played in San Jose, it would never even be a conversation. No. He would just sign for his contract. But here it's like, we got to have a full thing about it. Last thing I'll bring up, mercifully. Mm. So we can all go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Simone Benoit tonight, hot mess. Like, that shift where he's out there, how long was that shift? He was out there for 3 minutes?
At least 250. Like, it was...
And he goes in there, and then was it Bjorkstrand that he fought?
Yes.
Who was it that he fought?
Bjorkstrand, yeah.
Who's not, like, exactly...
I thought he was going to kill him.
He's not exactly Tony Twist.
No.
You know, he's a bit of... He's like a sniper guy, and... Benoit, just way too tired to fight.
He was just holding on for dear life.
Yeah. And then he goes over the bench, over the penalty box. He's sitting in there. He can barely make it to the penalty box. And then
gassed.
He's skating across the other way, blood running down his nose. I'm like, Jesus, man, you're a hot mess. But I didn't think, I guess maybe nobody was very good tonight, but I didn't think he was very good tonight either. So maybe he needed that little bit of rest. He wanted to scrap a bit, pretend to fight the
Armin says
the
that he's got 36 pounds on Bjorkstrand and 4 inches.
36 pounds?
And four
oh
inches.
My God.
Yeah, that should have been like, that should have been for the highlight reel for Benoit if he had like, you know, two fewer minutes of ice time.
Just
long.
Tee off. Yeah. Absolutely.
Last one. Is that like a top five most pissed Matthews has ever been after taking that late penalty?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other times that he's even been pissed. I guess when he's cross-checked Darlene in the mouth.
That
time
that
he
one.
Was
yeah.
pissed about
I
that.
I can't think of too many more.
When he fought Stamkos in what was the only fight between two guys that have scored 60 goals, and it looked like it. It was a bit of a slap fest. Little Alex Semin action going
match,
on there.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of other times that he's really been mad. Actually, when I like I don't know what year it would have been, but I was actually at the game with my nephew. But when he scored and they took it off the board against Colorado,
and then he did the goal selling.
When they flashed to him on the bench after they disallowed it, he had like the most like sassy, pissed off look on his face.
And that is when he scored after he did the goal line selling. Oh, I love that.
And then he did, and they pointed, and I think he was pissed off about that. But I gotta tell you, I loved seeing him pissed off.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's allowed? Like, that's allowed for your captain to be mad at somebody or be like in the ref's face or like making a, you know, just whining a bit? You know, like, you know, I have to listen to Connor McDavid whine about everything all year. It'd be nice to hear Matthews whine about one thing ever.
Except for the it's crowd just, noise. Don't ask him to whine about that because he will.
Well, I loved that, though.
That's
that
on the list. That's number five.
Said.
Oh, that's
oh, yeah,
number
right.
Him mad at the
that's
fans.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's those are the only times.
Yeah, so
maybe he's turning over a new leaf, 2025.
And now is that six straight games without a goal for him now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been a while without a goal for him, so maybe that's
it's
why.
Okay, Vancouver on Saturday night, that will be a fun one.
He's saving them all for Saturday night in Montreal against Canada.
Bring
that's
that
what
up.
He's saving them for.
Okay, Sam, anything else,
on
folks?
On that note, folks,
I think we will wrap this up. We will be back on the air on Saturday night versus the Canucks, which will be a fun one. I believe JD will be available for that one. Okay.
My favorite night of the year, where the Canucks fans.
The Stanley Cup.
You think? Well, no. You think 5 p.m. is bad? They got to go 4 p.m. for that start
time.
Be
very whiny.
And I've actually gone to that game before in Vancouver, Leafs Vancouver, and first of all, I was wearing a Leafs hat, Leafs jacket, Leafs jersey at that time, and never had worse vitriol at me in any sporting event I've ever been to.
Yep.
And secondly, I gotta tell you, 4 p.m. is an excellent time for a hockey.
Wait, you still go out after?
Like, we went at, like, I
dinner,
went
with our, then go out?
It's perfect. Yes. It was our good friend, our good mutual friend, Dan Riccio.
Oh, yeah.
We went out for beers before the game, went to the game, went for a lovely dinner, went to, like, a party with a bunch of people, then went out, and all in one night? It was incredible.
Good stamina on the boy.
You got a motor on you.
Well, listen, I was a much younger man.
Yeah,
man.
You could house some of those.
Yeah, you know, I can still toss them back. Just the results the next day aren't great. That's Let's just true. Say that. Anyways,
it's going to feel like how you feel when you wake up this morning because it's 1:20.
No, I could just sleep in.
That's true. Well, everybody.
At 10:30.
That's true. Everybody, I'm going to do the JD Bunkus. Subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Yes, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sam A. McKee, at Alish Forfar, at Justin. Got the nose, JC Cuthbert, right?
At Justin.
You've never done that before.
Is that his handle? At Justin.
At Justin Cuthbert.
Like Max told me on Instagram, at Max.
No, you're JC Cuthbert. There you go. I nailed it.
This is fun, guys.
You should do that.
This was fun. We're not doing it again, though. JD, like, he can, you know.
I enjoyed this.
Okay,
nice little change of pace.
I know, but don't make it a habit. Every time there's a late game,
his producer's here grinding, and he's not.
That's the other thing. Armin is here. Armin works on JD's show. He's producing.
He just needs his little nightcap on right now. He's putting on his like anti-aging creams. He's like lying in bed thinking about.
Do you think he does the mouth tape? Have you heard of mouth taping?
He definitely mouth tapes it.
No. Because he 100% mouth tapes.
My wife tried the old mouth tape thing, and I was like, I don't know. It just was really, really unsettling.
No, it's so murdery. I hate
it. It's unsettling. Like, can we not do this?
We got to ask JD. We'll find out if JD ever listens to this podcast if he denies that he mouth tapes.
Zero shot.
It's a very specific thing,
Nobody tell him about mouth taping. We'll just see if he ever brings it up, okay? All right.
I love you guys.
Let's get home. All right, thanks, Sam. Thanks to everybody. They will hear you. You will hear them on Saturday night.
And us
on Saturday before the game. Anyway, thanks to everyone. Have a good night.